As we talk this morning about restore the joy of thy salvation, I think also we should rejoice not only in our salvation, of course that's the greatest joy that we should have, but in every area of things that God blesses us with and as God works with us in this life, along this Christian journey, that God wants us to be a people that are full of joy. In the good times, as well as in the bad times, God wants us to be people full of joy. I want to read a few passages from John 15 as we begin our words of encouragement tonight. Beginning at verse number 7. Jesus says to his disciples, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." In verse 11, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Again, as Christians, we are to be people filled with joy. In various places in the Bible, we learn and we are taught that we are to be people of joy. Philippians 3 and verse 1 talks about rejoicing. Philippians 4 and verse number 4 talks about rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 talks about rejoicing. But you know, it is easy to be filled with joy when things go well. However, these verses, particularly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, do not teach us to rejoice only when things are going well. We are told to rejoice always and rejoice evermore. So when I look at words like rejoice always, that tells me, and no matter what the circumstances may be, God wants me as his child to rejoice. Even when we undergo trials, we are to be filled with joy. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had this to say to his disciples that were there with him. Verses 10 through 12. He said to them there, "Blessed are they which are persecuted," the Bible says, "for righteousness' sake." Now notice he says, "for righteousness' sake," for doing the right thing. "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And he goes on and says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." He says, do what? Rejoice. Rejoice, he said, "and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So Jesus says, even though when you are being persecuted, when you are undergoing trials in your life, he says, "I want you to be filled with joy." And then the apostles themselves showed us what it really means when you're undergoing persecution for the Lord's name to rejoice. In Acts chapter 5 and verses 40 and 41, they had commanded these apostles to stop teaching in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says this about them in verse number 40. The Bible says, and to him they agreed, and when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And verse 41 says this, and they departed from the presence of the council, doing what, church? Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. So they were being persecuted, they were being beaten for the cause of Christ. But they went away from the council rejoicing. They understood, I believe, what it meant to rejoice always, to rejoice evermore, to rejoice when things are good, and also to rejoice when things are bad. That's what God wants us to do as his children. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, he wants us to be a people that will rejoice. Our Lord also teaches us how to be joyful. He's our great example. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, seeing that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who for the what? The author and the finish of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has gone and sat down on the right hand of God. So even Jesus, as he was facing the cross, the Bible says he did that because that was joy set before him. So Jesus teaches us, the apostles teaches us, the word of God teaches us that we ought to be a people full of joy. And Jesus says again in John chapter 15 and verse 11, he says, these things have I said unto you, that you might have joy, or that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The Lord wants us to be a joyful people. Well, I said that it's easy for us to be filled with joy, no doubt, when things are going well. But sometimes when things are not going so well, it's not so easy, and the devil, he'll get busy, and he'll try to encourage us and influence us to think that all of this that is happening to you, you have no reason to rejoice. And if you're not careful, we may just listen to it. But I think if we understand what joy really is, it'll help us to stand in there and still be a joyful people when these things happen to us that are not so pleasant. Well, what's the true meaning of joy? Now, man's dictionary defines joy as the emotion experienced as a result of well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. Did you hear what that dictionary definition says? It says, basically, that joy is based upon well-being, success, good fortune, and getting what one desires. Take, for example, the athletes. Georgia, yesterday, when they beat Alabama. Alabama. By the way, I was pulling for Georgia. Alabama, when they beat Georgia, they desired to beat Georgia. Now, when they got that victory, I guarantee you, not only Tua And not only Jalen Hurts, but every one of those teammates and every fan will feel with joy. Now, that's joy from the world's perspective. They got what they wanted. They got what they desired. It was a sense of well-being for them. And also, when one desires a job, or one desires a house, or an automobile, or whatever, when those things come into play, one is filled with joy. Well, this type of joy, that is this definition that I just gave, is based on external circumstances. Something happened that we desire to happen in our lives that was positive. And so then one is filled with joy from that standpoint. But when the Bible talks about joy, it is not necessarily talking about things from an external perspective. Joy in the Bible is gladness of heart that a Christian possesses because he has a right relationship with the Lord. And when one has a right relationship with the Lord, whether Alabama wins, or whether one gets a new car, or one gets the job that he desires, if we have the right relationship with the Lord, we can still have joy in our lives, because it's not based upon external circumstances. It's based upon our relationship with the Lord. Joy and happiness are similar terms, but they are not exactly the same. And I think, as we've just described, joy based on external circumstances versus that which the Bible describes as joy, we can see that there is a difference in the two. One is happy, again, when he gets what he wants. But if he doesn't get what he wants, if you look at it and if you don't have the right relationship with the God, with the Lord, then you're not happy because you didn't get what you wanted. That's the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is generally based upon external circumstances, but joy is based upon our relationship with the Lord. So whether we get what we wanted or if we don't get what we want, if we have the right relationship with the Lord, then we know that if the Lord didn't bless us to get what we wanted, then we know the Lord has our best interests at heart, and we are still a joyful people. Well, what is Jesus then prescription for true joy? Going by looking at the text that we shared in reading tonight, Jesus lays out the prescription for true joy. You notice what he said in verse 7 again, chapter 15? In particular, the first part of that verse, he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The first thing that will bring us joy, true joy, is that one must abide in Christ. And to abide in Christ, first of all, one must be in Christ. That's why many times the world falls apart when all kinds of things happen. But the child of God, who has the right relationship with God, knows that God will bring us through whatever happens in this life. So then, we first must be in him in order to abide in him. Look at what he says in verse 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now, when I understand that I can't do anything without Christ, it doesn't matter what I have in this life from a materialistic or an external perspective, if I don't have Christ, I really cannot have true joy. Because these things of this life, no matter what they may be, they're only, and I heard somebody say temporary back there a while ago, they're only temporary, they only last for a while. But my relationship with the Lord, if it's right, it will last on into eternity. That's what gives me true joy, to know that my relationship can take me on into eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we must be in him, and we must continue to be in him. And his word must continue to be in us. Look at what he says in John 8 and verse 31. He says, if you continue in my word, talking to those Jews that believed on him, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's the condition? The condition is to continue in his word. And knowing that if I continue in his word, then I am made free from my sins, and I am being kept free through the continual cleansing of his blood that we talked about this morning. So that gives me hope for tomorrow. It gives me strength for the day, and it gives me joy throughout the ceaseless ages, knowing that my relationship with the Lord is right. So we must continue in him. His word must abide in us. And that gives us then the proper relationship with him. And not only does it give me the proper relationship with him and give me the joy, but I have the assurance of having my prayers answered. Nothing else can assure me of having my prayers answered other than a proper relationship with the Lord, and that should give us joy. Look what he says again in John 15 and the latter part of verse number 7, and we've already shared it with you. He says, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That sounds like answered prayers, doesn't it, to you? God will answer my prayer if I abide in him, and if I keep my word, keep his word, rather, abiding in me. Then my prayers will be answered. Now, they will be answered, as we've said so many times, according to his will. Not necessarily according to my will, but they'll be answered according to his will. So if my relationship is right, then, as we talked about, I believe it was last Sunday, when we talk about this, singing this song, anyway you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. If they are answered according to his will, if my relationship is right with him, then however he answers the prayer, I'll be satisfied. Why? Because I got the proper relationship with the Lord. So joy then is mine if he answers it like I want him to answer it, or if he doesn't answer it the way I wanted him to answer it, I still have joy because I got the proper relationship with the Lord. It's so good to have confidence when you pray. It's a wonderful thing to have confidence when you pray. John said it like this in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15. He says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to whose will? His will, he heareth us. And in verse number 15, he says, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Now, why do we get the petition that we desired of him? When you go back to 1 John 3 and verse 22, he says, we receive these things because we keep his commandments. Now, remember what Jesus says as he writes to, or as he talks to these disciples, as he talks to them in John chapter 15, in verse number 10, he says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So he says now, in relation to prayer again, if we keep God's commandments, then whatsoever we ask according to his will, He will bless us with that. That's confidence.
That should give us joy to know that if I'm doing God's will,
then He's going to bless me according to His will. All our needs, I keep God's commandments, all my needs will be provided. Philippians 4 and verse number 19 says this, that my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful to know? Does that give you joy? To know that God will supply all of our needs? Not some of them, but all of our needs. That gives us joy. He will never leave us or forsake us. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. He will give us peace. John 14 and verse 27. He will preserve our souls. Matthew 10 and 28. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. Notice what Paul said as he writes to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1
and verse number 12, Paul had this to say. He says, for which cause?
I suffer these things. Talking about persecutions and trials that one undergo. Paul was talking about the things that he was undergoing for the cause of Christ. That was trials and suffering. He says, again, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, he says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am, the Bible says, persuaded that He is what? Able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Isn't it wonderful to know that God will preserve our souls? Paul was talking about his soul that he had committed to the Lord. They may take our body, or they may take our life, but they cannot take our soul. I'm glad about that. That gives me joy. No wonder
Jesus would say in Matthew 10 and verse 28, fear not him that can kill the body
and not the soul. They can't touch your soul. They can touch your body, but they cannot touch your soul. Jesus, God, will preserve our souls. That gives us joy. So I believe tonight, if we use Jesus' prescription, we can sing the words of another song. Out of all the things that I've been through, I still have joy. God's people who have the right relationship with Him can sing that song with confidence. That out of all the things that I've been through, I still have joy. Habakkuk said it like this. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. Habakkuk had been struggling, if you will. And those of us who are familiar with the book can remember that he was struggling with the fact that
God's people were being punished, even by wicked nations. And he asked God,
how long is this going to go on? He didn't understand why God was allowing his people to suffer so. And God said to him, and I'm paraphrasing it now, just be patient. Just wait. I'll take care of the situation. But in the midst of his struggling, in the midst of his bewilderment as to how God was allowing them to suffer at the hands of their enemies, he said this. In Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 17, he says, and although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be on the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. He says,
flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be
no herd in the stalls. That looks like a bleak situation to me, doesn't it? Habakkuk says, even though all of this is happening, and I don't have the wherewithal, he says, yet I will what? Rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation.
I wonder why Habakkuk could say that. I believe even though he was struggling with what was happening to him, Habakkuk had the right relationship with the Lord. And he knew that in spite of the fact all of these things were happening, God was still going to be there to take care of him. So I would say to us again tonight that when we look around us and we see all kinds of things that are going on, God still wants us
to have faith in him and still wants us to be a joyous people. Because again,
all of these things are just temporary. Eventually, God is going to take care of the situation. All we have to do is have faith enough to hold on. It gets hard sometimes, yes. Yes, all kinds of things happen to us in this life. But God wants us still to hold on. So again, the Bible says, rejoice always and rejoice forevermore. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. So Jesus says again, these things that I'm telling you, if you keep my commandments, do what I tell you to do, you'll have joy. So again, he says, I want my joy to remain in you, and I want my joy and your joy to be full. So again, I'm saying to us tonight, don't let the devil rob us of our joy. Don't let the devil take our relationship away from us with God. Well, the devil won't do it, but we will allow that to happen. If we keep holding on in spite of whatever comes or whatever goes, let's keep on trusting in the Lord. Let's keep on being just like Habakkuk. Habakkuk says, I'm going to still rejoice. So again, the song says what? Out of all the things that I've been through, I still have joy. The only one that can sing a song like that with confidence is one that have the right relationship with the Lord. It pays to have the right relationship. Encourage you tonight to get it right with the Lord. You haven't obeyed the gospel. Perhaps all of us in here perhaps have obeyed the gospel. But if I'm overlooking someone who have not obeyed the gospel, I want to encourage you to do that. But those of us who are members of the body of Christ, let's stay faithful to the Lord, trusting in him, doing his will. And when we do his will, we can have joy. Because we know again that these things are just temporary. No wonder Paul would say again, when he talked about all of the things that were happening to him, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, talked about his being forsaken, talked about his being perplexed and all of that kind of thing. And then he got down there and when he says, for this, day by day. He said, for we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen, they are temporal, but the things that are not seen, they are eternal. For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have another building of God, eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. Paul was one, I'm sure, that could still rejoice. And that's why he wrote, when he wrote these letters, he told these Christians to rejoice. And you know what? Some of those letters were written while he was in prison. But he could still talk about rejoicing. I say to us tonight, don't let the devil steal your joy. Let's have full joy. Let's be a joyful people. God wants us to be joyful. Is the only thing that sets us up to being a joyful people.
If you're not saved from your sins, you don't have anything to look forward to. But being saved from your sins, you've got something to look forward to. And that should give you all the joy that you need. So if you need to obey the Lord tonight, why not do that? Or maybe you're walking contrary to the will of God. I want to encourage you to turn away from it.